Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving to you. The writings plainly teach that the fourth commandment, to love father and mother, also teaches us to love our country. This can be a difficult subject at times when we do not approve of things being done by our government or things being done by our fellow citizens. So let's take a closer look to see what the Lord is saying. First, love is not primarily a feeling, but an attitude and approach to life. To love our country does not mean that we should always have warm, proud feelings about our country. Instead, it means that we should look at our country as a unit of which we are a part, full of people who are our neighbors. Our country is a great neighbor to whom we can learn to practice charity. As we do, the Lord will grant us a true love of country. True Christian religion says, those who don't know what the neighbor is in the true sense think only of an individual person as a neighbor. They think that to do kind things for individuals is to love the neighbor. The neighbor, however, with love to him, has a much wider application. It grows as the number of people embraced as the neighbor increases. Who cannot see that to love many people forming a community is to show a greater love toward the neighbor than to love a single individual of that community. Therefore, a community, small or great, is the neighbor because it is a human being collectively. A person who loves the community loves the people of whom the community consists. And therefore, a person who wishes well to and does good to a community cares for the good of its individual members. When the Lord and the angels from him look down on the earth, they see a whole society as one person whose form reflects the character of its members. For example, all the residents in a township or all the members of a volunteer organization such as the community center or the fire company form a one. All the people working in a business form a whole. So we read, in everyone's idea, his country is as one. All the laws, therefore, both the laws of justice and the economic laws, are enacted as for one. In this world, this is not always true. Though through most of the last two centuries, our nation was partly divided into separate communities with unequal, unjust laws. But the ideal is clear, that a country can be unified by providing the same justice and opportunity under law for all. We need to think of ourselves as cells in a body, parts of a greater whole, because that is how the Lord sees us, and that reflects the goal he has for us, that we may each be a part of the greatest man, which is his kingdom of heaven. We read, when it is the Lord's good pleasure, any kingdom or country is presented as a man before the angels of heaven in a form that is the likeness of that country's quality. The form is the form of the country's spiritual affection. The shape of the face is the form of its affection of spiritual good. The form of the body is the form of its civil good. The person's manners, speech, and the like show the country's rational good. When one views a kingdom as one man, its quality may be seen. According to its quality, a country is a neighbor. We can see that love for a community and for a country is a fuller love than love of an individual. This is why honors and remuneration are given according to the scope of the responsibilities assigned to a person. everyone, we read, receives payment, glory, and the love of the community in proportion to the greatness of his office, as well as the good uses he performs. The writings compare love toward the neighbor in a community with the fruit of a whole vineyard, as compared with the fruit of just one vine, which is like love toward an individual. Love toward one's country is also a higher love, closer to the Lord, than love toward an individual neighbor. We have a duty to do good to our country from love for it, according to its needs, in return for all its benefits to us. It is a law inscribed on the human heart, the writings say, that everyone is bound to love his country, not as he loves himself, but with a greater love. Hence the universal maxim to which every upright man subscribes, that if ruin threatens one's country from an enemy or any other source, it is noble to die for it and glorious for a soldier to shed his blood in its defense. This maxim has been so expressed to emphasize how greatly one's country should be loved. Those who love their country and render it good service from good will, after death love the Lord's kingdom, for this is now their country. And those who love his kingdom love the Lord, because the Lord is the all in all of his kingdom. Still, we are not to love our country blindly, as in the saying, my country, right or wrong. Just as with individual neighbors, our country is to be loved and treated according to the quality of its good. Its good has to do with its spiritual life, its moral life, and its civil life. The doctrine says, for example, if I had been born in Catholic Venice or Rome, and if I were a Reformed Christian, that is a Protestant, am I to love my country, or the country where I was born, because of its spiritual good? I cannot. Nor can I love my country for its moral and civil good so far as these qualities depend on its spiritual good, that is, on its religion. But I can love my country for its moral and civil good so far as these are not linked to its religion, even if that country hates me. Thus, I must not in hatred regard my country as an enemy or an adversary, but must still love it, doing it no injury, taking care for its welfare, so far as is good for it, but not aiding it in such a way that I confirm it in its falsity and evil. This passage shows that we are to think carefully about the state of our country, its spiritual state, its morality, and its civil order. As far as we can, we must help it to improve and grow stronger. As with individual friends and family members, we must beware of supporting it in what is false and evil. Sometimes we may think of America as many nations lumped together because of all the various religions, races, and ethnic backgrounds here. But even if we accepted the idea that we belong to a different nationality than some others in this country, the doctrine has something to help us. We read, I can love all in the universe according to their religion, not more those in my own country than those in other kingdoms, nor should I love more those in Europe than in Africa. I love a Gentile more than a Christian if he lives well according to religion, if from the heart he worships God, saying, I will not do this evil because it is a sin against God. But I do not love him according to his doctrine, but according to his life. Since if I love him according to his doctrine alone, I love him as an external man, that is, only for his words. But if I love him according to his life, I love him also as an internal man. For if he has the good of religion, he also has moral and civil good, they cannot be separated. This is the answer to the strife in Syria, Iraq, Palestine, in war-torn parts of Africa, and in quarrels in our own country. We should love each other according to our lives, not according to external similarities or differences, such as skin color, language, or doctrinal formulations. If we would make love to the Lord and charity toward the neighbor the most important thing, then doctrinal differences would become, in the Lord's words, no more than shades of opinion concerning the mysteries of faith, which truly Christian people would leave to individual conscience. And in our hearts we would say that a person is truly a Christian when he lives as a Christian, that is, as the Lord teaches. Then, we read, all the disagreements which stem from doctrine alone would disappear. Indeed, the hatred one man holds against another would be dispelled in an instant, and the Lord's kingdom on earth would come. Then we could freely engage with each other in debate on all important issues, religious, social, and political, without fear, and we would progress rapidly in mutual understanding. What must we do then to love our country? First of all, we must look to the Lord and shun evils as sins against Him each day. In that way, we put love to the Lord and charity toward the neighbor first in our own hearts and lives. Shunning evils as sins is the most important expression of love toward our country. Second, we must perform the uses of our work that we do every day honestly, fairly, and faithfully. Imagine the enormous gain in the economy if corruption in government and fraud in business were reduced by just 1%. Even if we say it will never happen, we ourselves can set our own standards high. This is probably the most meaningful contribution we can make to our country, to treat employees, employers, customers, suppliers, service providers, and all other people honestly. It will make a difference to our community and our country. And if we do this for the sake of our country and for the Lord, and not just for reputation, it will benefit the Lord's kingdom forever. Beyond this, we can think carefully about all the ways in which we have benefited from our country, ways in which this country has been a father and mother to us, in spite of its gross failures and shortcomings, as with every other country in the world. Our country has provided its citizens with religious freedom and economic opportunity more than any other nation on earth. We can picture ourselves as cells in a body, parts of the greater whole that is our country, because this is the way the angels see themselves in heaven. Yes, our country is sick in certain ways, but let's think of it as our country and think of what we can do to help us all heal. If we pray to the Lord for help and direction, He will show us a few things we can do and a few things that we can stop doing. We can focus on how love to the Lord and love towards the neighbor can draw all religions, peoples, and nations together with a clear appreciation of each other's different gifts and talents. There is enormous potential in this country. Wherever the Lord is, there is every reason for hope and confidence in the future. It will be tough. We may not see as many wins as we would like in the short term, but to work for our country is one of the highest loves the Lord gives us. Let us pray for our country. Let us pray that we may be honest citizens, so that we may become good citizens of the Lord's kingdom, as in heaven, so upon the earth. Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.